Take your Bible, if you will, to the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, if you will, chapter 1 tonight. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Just going to read one verse here in 2 Timothy chapter 1. Try to preach to you a little bit on a Christian declaration. A Christian declaration. That I think sums up and pretty well describes what we find here in 1 Timothy 1 and verse 12. So if you look there with us, and the Bible says, "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." One thing you can definitely say about the Apostle Paul is he didn't mind letting you know where he stood. He didn't mind letting you know what he believed. You read through the scriptures that God used him to write, and you'll find numerous places where he makes a declaration and he says, "I know this. I know this." And he was very faithful. He was very dogmatic, for lack of a better word, about where he stood when he preached, when he moved around and is on those missionary journeys. And as we read through the book of Acts there, we find where he'd go to jail. Well, you knew why he was in jail, all right? Because it's where he stood and what he said. And I'll be honest with you, I think you and I ought to be able to make the kind of declaration that he made. And I believe we ought to be able to stand up, and we ought to be willing to stand up and say some things. And so I just want to take that verse just for a little bit and notice what he said. First of all, there he said, "I am not ashamed." I'm not ashamed. You said, "Well, not ashamed of what?" Well, go back to Romans chapter 1, would you? Romans chapter 1. If you'd turn back there. Romans chapter 1, there's a place over here where he made that statement, and he said one thing that he wasn't ashamed of, all right? In Romans chapter 1, verse 16, he said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." He said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel." I don't know about you, but I'm not ashamed of that gospel either. I'm not ashamed that I believed it. How about you? I'm glad there was a day that came along and I was taught the Word of God from a little kid. I grew up in Sunday school, class. People taught the Bible to me. Hey, you Sunday school teachers, don't fail to teach the Bible. Don't fail to teach the Bible. I always do that. Have memory verses and encourage kids to memorize Scripture, all right? Get it in them at an early age. Look, you talk about fighting a battle. We fight a battle today. We fight a battle today. My wife and I were talking about it after church this morning. There's a few issues and a few issues with some folks, you know, that rode the bus, and some of them, and we were talking about how they could be like they were and what was going on. You said, "Well, how did that happen?" Hey, they've not had any training. They've not had anybody to work with them. They've not had anybody to spend the time with them. Nobody stood with them. Their family life is a disaster, all right? Hey, Sunday school teacher, you could be the only individual standing between them and a terrible future. Boy, now, don't misunderstand me. You say, "Well, preacher, is it my fault if it go wrong?" No. But man, do everything you can to keep them from going wrong. Do everything you can to keep them from going wrong. Hey, I'm glad that I heard that gospel. Not ashamed of, I'm sure not ashamed of believed it. I'm glad that I understood. The Bible said Jesus Christ came to this earth and he died for my sin. He was buried and he rose again that third day. And I'm glad I was taught that. And I'm glad I believed it, and I'm not ashamed to tell anybody that. I'm glad I believed it, and I'm glad I received it. Glad I received what came along with it. I'm glad I received that free salvation. That free salvation. And you just think about it. Think about it. You got it free. Somebody else paid for it. You got it free. We were talking this morning in Sunday school most time today, if somebody offers you something for free, you figure there's a catch. You think, okay, now what happens after I accept that? What's connected to it? We're just leery. Hey, I'll tell you what's connected to the free gift of salvation. It's connected to eternal life. Man, what a wonderful thing, all right? And it connects you to the family of God. I'm not ashamed I received that. I'm not ashamed I received it. But I'll tell you something else. I'm not ashamed to tell it. Not ashamed to tell it. Boy, such a sad thing. So many people today that profess salvation seem to be real reluctant to tell it. You ought not to be that way. Never be ashamed to stand up and say, hey, I've been saved. I'm a part of the family of God. I am the child of a king. I know where I'm going when I die. Now, you do that, there's going to be some people that will probably mock you. Have at it. Go to it. I tell you what, I don't want to be in their shoes when they face death. I don't want to be there, all right? Not one bit in this world. I'm glad that I've believed it. I'm glad I received it. And I'm just happy as the world tell you about it, all right? Happy to stand up and tell you about it. Not ashamed of doing that. Neither was Paul. Man, you read through Acts, you find several instances of him giving his testimony. He said, I was on the road to Damascus, and man, this light shone around me, and I heard a voice from heaven. He said, well, preacher, if I'd had it like that, I wouldn't be ashamed to tell it. That's all right. Your story's just as good. Your story's just as good. He said, well, I didn't cause anybody to be stoned. I wasn't holding the clothes of those that don't. Me either. Me either. But I'm happy to tell you how I got saved. Happy to tell you how I trusted Christ, all right? Happy to tell you about that salvation. Why? Because I'm not ashamed of my Savior. You're there in 2 Timothy chapter 1? 2 Timothy chapter 1, look at verse 8. He said, Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Be not thou ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. How in the world could you be ashamed of your Savior? How could you be ashamed of that? That one who came to this earth, took your place, died, took the penalty for sin, your sin, on himself, bore that sin to that tree, died for us, paid our sin debt, offers us that free gift of eternal life, and you say, I'm kind of ashamed of him. Oh, not me. No, sir. Not ashamed of that Savior at all. Not ashamed to sing of him. Not ashamed to sing of him. Man, you ought to have that possibility. I don't mind telling you. I don't mind singing, redeemed, I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. You say, preacher, you can sing. Boy, you ought to hear me sometimes. You'd go, Lord, help us. I was singing a little bit this afternoon at the house. I'm surprised my wife didn't come in there and say, could you tone it down just a little bit? But I was having a good time, all right? I was just enjoying myself. Now, I'm not ashamed of my Savior at all. I'll tell you something else. I'm not ashamed of my heritage. I am not ashamed of my heritage. I am a Baptist. I'm not ashamed of being a Baptist. Some guy said, man, he's a Baptist with a big B. I'm not sure exactly what that is, but I'm not ashamed of being a Baptist. I'm sort of like Curtis Hudson. He said, Baptist born, Baptist bred. When I die, I'll be Baptist dead. I'm glad to be a Baptist, all right? Glad to be an independent fundamental Baptist. You said, why? Man, you really want to know? We don't have that long. All right, we just don't have that long. I'm glad to be a Baptist. I'm not ashamed of it at all. You said, well, you are because your daddy was. I was that way when I was a kid. I believe what dad said because dad said believe it. But not anymore. Not anymore. I've done the studying. I've put in the time. I'll not be anything else, all right? I'm happy, I'm glad to be a Baptist, not ashamed of that at all. I'm not in favor of us changing the name of our church to the First Church of the whatever. I'm glad we're the First Baptist Church, all right? If you vote to change the name to something besides Baptist, you vote to get rid of me. You said, I've been trying to figure out how. Now we know, all right? All right, go ahead, you know. But I'm Baptist, glad to be a Baptist, not ashamed. Man, there's a wonderful heritage of people that have given their life for this book, given their life for the truth. Amen. Thank God for it, all right? Hey, I'm not ashamed. Well, wait a minute. Notice back there in verse 12, Paul said, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. Hey, I want to tell you, I know who saved me. Amen. I know who saved me. I got saved when I was 9 years old. 9 years old. It's only been 60 years ago, all right? At that time, you know, there's been some times since then. The devil's come along and worked to make me doubt it. I'm always able to go back and remember that Sunday night as a boy that I trusted Christ under the conviction of the Holy Spirit for a few weeks. I felt like months, maybe even years, but it hadn't been that long. It was just a few weeks. The Holy Spirit of God, man, conviction was on me. And that Sunday night, I said, I'm trusting Christ. I'm going to get saved, you know, 9 years old. Now, I may have doubted sometimes my salvation, but I never doubted the one that did the saving. Never doubted that, okay? Never doubt. I never have thought, well, it was me. It was me. I mean, the Lord, how could he help but save me? I mean, look who I am, how great I am. Man, I never had those thoughts. Never went through me. I never for once in my life ever thought that I did anything to deserve what he did for me. Man, nothing at all that he did. No, it wasn't me, because the truth of the matter is I just like everybody else. I couldn't help myself. I couldn't help myself. I was a sinner. I was lost. You said, good lands, what could you have done? You're only 9 years old. Listen, there's no age requirement. There's no age limit for sin. All right? None whatsoever. It's that realization. I was born that way. I was born a sinner. I could not help myself, and I realized I was lost. And the only way is it took a mighty Savior to take away my sin. Mighty Savior. I know who saved me. I know he did it. I couldn't do it. There's nobody else that could come along. I knew some people in my life, but I never knew anybody else that could come along and said, don't worry, I can take care of your eternal life for you. Nope, nobody like that. Just him. Just him. The one that was preached to me, all right? Now, I've spent the last 60 years getting better acquainted with the one that did the saving. Now, I'll be honest with you, I see so many people today, I think they mess up right there. I'm like the Apostle Paul, that I, as he said in Philippians 3:10, that I may know him. That I may know him. I've known some people, met some people that I would like to have been better acquainted with. I was asked to preach at a funeral one time, for a man that I really didn't know, and I was asked to preach that funeral, and I talked as I normally do. I talked to people to find out a little something about him, and the more I heard, the more I thought, boy, I wish I could have known this guy. I wish I could have known him, but I couldn't. He was dead, but I can know Jesus Christ. You can know him. It's a shame. I think sometimes God people seem to be content to get saved and say, thanks, I'll see you in heaven. What a terrible attitude. What a terrible thing to even think. Here I am and I'm saved. Now I'm glad I'm saved. Now I'll see you, Lord, in heaven. Thanks for saving me. See you then. Not me. That one that gave himself for me, I'd like to know him better. I've spent 60 years trying to get better acquainted with him. You said, how you do it? We're reading your Bible. Doing what he says. Doing what he says. Yielding to his Holy Spirit that's in you. Yield to that Holy Spirit that's in you. And commune with the Spirit of God. Your spirit commune with his spirit. And let his spirit commune with yours, that you might get to know him a little better. Now you don't have to sit cross-legged on the floor and go, all right. You don't need to do that. It's not necessary. As a matter of fact, it's a waste of time, okay? You don't need to do that at all. But just spend that time. I just want to know him. Just want to get better acquainted with him, all right? And I tell you what I found out. I've come to find out you can trust him with a lot more than just your salvation. You can trust him with a lot more than just your soul. Hey, when I was a kid, that's what I wanted to trust him with. I wanted him to save my soul. And he did. He did. But in those years since I've been saved, I found out I can trust him with everything. Everything in life. And there, you know, I can trust him with my family. Trust him with my family, you know, Lord. There were times raising my kids, I didn't know what to do. I'd pray and say, Lord, it'd be night and everybody's in the bed and I'm praying, Lord, you got to help me. I need some help. I need some help. Now, my son, he was never a problem. It was my daughter. No, I was kidding. But, it was both of them, all right? They were kids. They were human. And Dad needed help. But I found out, Lord, I can trust you with my kids. I can trust you with that. I can trust you with my family. And Lord, I can trust you just with my life, my whole life. My future, it's in your hands, Lord. It's in your hands. It's all yours. I'm going to do what you say. Not going to worry about what anybody else. I'm going to just trust what you say. Just trust what you say. And do what you say to do, and I'll do it. I'll do it. I found out, man, he's got some promises there. I can trust him. I can trust him. You can trust him with your finances. You can trust him all the way. Now, listen, when you come to the Lord and trust in him, I want you to understand, I'm kind of careful about this. When you trust him, that means you trust him, but you do what he says.
Amen.
All right? You do what he says. You can trust him, but you got to do what he says to do. Don't say, well, Lord, I trusted you. You let me down. No. No, you let him down. You didn't walk with him. You didn't obey him. And you say, well, I don't know why things turned out this way. Well, there's a reason. There's a reason. All right? And so, hey, but I found out I can trust him. I can trust him. I can come to him and ask him for help. He's good about telling me, you might ought to wait a while, son. You don't really know what you're fixing to do. You might ought to wait a while. Just wait on him. I found out if you'd wait on him, a lot of times you come out better. Wait on the Lord, all right? Hey, I found out I can trust him. But then notice the rest of verse 12, if you would. He said, I am persuaded. I'm persuaded that he is able. That he's able. Oh, mercy. Oh, mercy. You know, we shortchange our God because we think, well, he can't do it. He needs my help. He doesn't need our help. Okay, he needs our obedience. He needs our honor. He needs our love for him and our obedience. But he doesn't need our help. But so many times we get in trouble. We get in problems. We get in problems. We think, well, I'll have to figure this out by myself. I'm reminded of three Hebrews over in Daniel chapter 3. I'll be honest with you, I still got enough kid in me. To me, that's one of the most exciting chapters in the Bible. And I think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Here they are in a land not of their birth. They're strangers. They're foreigners. They're in a situation where the king built this great statue, idol, image, and everybody's been told, now, we're going to play some music. When you hear that music, you bow down and worship. And if you don't, you're going in the furnace, all right? We're going to burn you. So those three Hebrews, and I can just see it in my mind's eye just good as I can. You know, if I was there, I can see the music playing. And I figure Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were standing together. Here they were. I just figured they were standing together. And here they are in the crowd, great host of people out on the plain of Shinar. And the music's played, you know, bum, bum, bum. And man, everybody bows down. Three fellas, I don't know if you had pockets in robes or not, but I picture them putting their hands in their pockets, looking around, says, hey, fellas, better view now, huh? See better. Everybody's out of the way. And you can't help but wonder, everybody else, you had people bowing down, but you got to figure they're going. Hey, you see them three foreigners? They're not cooperating. Man, it didn't take long for the word to get back to Nebuchadnezzar. And he said, hey, fellows, we're going to give you another chance. You better get it right this time. But boy, I just like what they said. Nebuchadnezzar said, if you don't, we're going to heat that furnace up hotter and we're going to throw you in. And you're going to burn. And in Daniel chapter 3, verse 17, they said to him, if it be so, if it happens the way you say, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. Now, notice, he said, we know he's able. We know he's able to deliver us from that furnace, but we know he will deliver us from you. From you, you won't be able to touch us. You won't be able to touch us. He'll deliver us from you. Boy, what confidence. They were persuaded their God was able. Now, we know what happened. We know what happened. We've read the story. We know about it, all right? Now, I've never needed deliverance from the furnace. Never have. I've never been told, you get with it or we're throwing you in. We're throwing you in. Never been told that. But I tell you what, I've needed some deliverance a time or two. And I'll tell you this, I serve the same God those three Hebrew boys serve. Same God. Everything that he was then, he still is now. His man, he hasn't lost any ability. We lose ability. I've tried to play a little bit on the PE field with some of the kids at school. I have found out beyond a shadow of a doubt, I cannot do what I used to could do. All right? I mean, everything just doesn't work right anymore. All right? I get out there and try to play kickball with them. And I decided I will kick the ball. That was a pitiful mistake, all right? I should have let well enough alone, and I could have still imagined that I could still kick the ball pretty good. But I can't imagine how bad it looked as I tried to move up and meet the ball with my toe, all right? And I said, I can't do that. But I tell you what, God, he's not lessened at all. He's still able. He's still able to do everything he could to do. I serve that same God. They knew their God was able. I know my God's able. Your God is able. I'll tell you something. He's able to save all them that come unto God by him. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25 says that. He's able to save all that come unto God by Jesus Christ. Able to save them all. I'm glad he's not limited in his ability to save. Now, we've got a false doctrine being taught across the land of Christianity tonight that's the doctrine of hyper-Calvinism that says that the Lord will not save everybody and that the atonement was not sufficient for everybody, that it was a limited atonement. But my problem with that is that's not what this book says. Amen. He says he's able to save all. The only problem is they've got to come. They've got to come. You say, well, what does that matter to me? I'm already saved. It matters to this point right here. If you're not ashamed of who saved you and you're not ashamed to tell that gospel story, you don't ever have to worry, well, am I talking to the wrong person? You don't ever have to worry, well, I may be presenting this to somebody that can't, maybe they were not among the elect. They can't get saved. Man, I'll tell you, we won't ever have to worry about that. I got a friend. I got a friend, a preacher. Man, I remember hearing him preach in the past. Boy, he preached. But he's been converted to that doctrine. To the point he's told another friend, hey, you're wasting your time passing out tracts. You don't need to do that. That's a waste of time. Man, my heart just breaks that he's been twisted that way. I think, how in the world? Man, my Bible's got too many whosoevers in it. Man, there's just too many of them there. Whosoever will, it's there. Hey, I'm glad he's able to save all that'll come unto God by him. I'm persuaded. Believe that with all that's within me, he can do it. Take your Bible over to 1 Peter chapter 1, would you? 1 Peter chapter 1, right back there at the end of the book, 1 Peter chapter 1. I want you to look at a verse here. I just love this verse, man. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Look, if you will, in verse 5. It says, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Kept by the power of God. What a blessing that is. Listen, he's able to save all that'll come, but he's able to keep everybody that gets saved. He's able to keep you, all right? As Paul said it, he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. He said he's able to do that. Hey, he's able to keep you saved. You got saved, he's able to keep you. I'm not kept tonight by my power. I love the illustration that when the time came back under Noah's day, God told him, build an ark. Told him what size to build it and how big, how many floors to put in it. Told him how to go, and he told him what animals to bring and what to put in there. He told him, put one window in it. He said, put one door in it. And when it was ready and it was about to, I guess the clouds were rising, he told them, you come into the ark. You come into the ark. I'm glad. That means two things. One, if it's come in, that means he was there. He was in it. You don't say come in if you're not in there. If you're at your house and somebody comes up and you're outside and they want to get in, you don't say, well, go ahead and come in. No, you'd say, go ahead and go in. But if you're in there, you say, come in. Come in. But another thing it tells me is I'm so glad he didn't put spikes on the outside and say, get a hold, it's going to be a rough ride. No, it's come in, shut the door, I'll shut the door, he shut the door, we were safe in that ark. I'm not depending on my strength to hold on. He's holding on to me. He's holding on to me. When my kids were little, if we were in a big crowd, a lot of times when they were a little bigger and we were in a big crowd and I was making my way through, I'd tell them, hey, you put your finger through the belt loop in my back of my pants, and I said, you just hang right there and come on. That way, as long as I felt that tug, I knew they were there, all right? And it was easier for me to break away through the crowd than it was them, all right? So stay there. But when they were real little, I held their hand. I didn't tell them, you hold on to me. I held on to them. Now their grip may be better than mine, but it wasn't then, all right? It wasn't then. Hey, I'm kept tonight by the power of God. I'm not holding on to him. He's holding on to me. Oh, what a blessing it is to know that. I'm persuaded that is true. You said, how'd you get persuaded? I've read the book. I've read the book over and over and over. He's able. He's able to save everybody that'll come. He's able to keep those who come and get saved. And I'll tell you what, I'm so glad he's able to hear my prayer. Aren't you glad he's able to hear your prayer? Only God could do that. I don't know how many people are praying at the same time. There's a lot of people in this old world. And I don't know when you pray. Maybe you pray in the morning when you get up. Maybe you pray in the evening before you go to bed. And you say, preacher, when do you pray? In the morning when I get up, in the evening when I go to bed, and a lot of times in between, all right? A lot of times in between. I just pray. I don't know who else is praying. But I don't have to go, Lord, hey, Lord. Can you hear me? Is the line open? Hey, I remember when I was a kid, we had a party line telephone. Kids today have no idea what that means. some of you older folks have been around a while, you know what it is. And you'd go and you'd pick up the phone before you dialed. If you had a party line, you'd pick up the phone. You had to listen to make sure somebody wasn't already on it. All right? And if you were a decent human being, you didn't keep listening. You hung it up, all right? You hung it up. It was busy. You couldn't get in. Hey, but I'm telling you what, we don't have to worry about that when we're praying. The God that we serve is able to hear our prayer. Doesn't matter who else is praying. He's promised us that he'll answer. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. What a promise. And then we don't pray. Good lands. He's promised. He said, I'll hear your prayer. I'll hear your prayer. And he'll answer. He said, preacher, I prayed and he didn't answer. Yeah, he did. Well, I didn't get what I asked for. That means he said no. He said no. Now, if you're a parent, you understand that. Because your kids have asked for things they didn't need. And things that not only didn't need, it would harm them. And so your answer was, no, you can't have that. And that's the truth. I believe that with my heart. But God will answer your prayer. And I've seen him answer enough. And not in big things, you know. I'll be honest, I've mentioned this to you. I remember hearing my dad talk about praying for a parking place. Just be honest with you, I'd never thought of that. But after he said that, I prayed for a parking place a bunch of times. And I've had God answer the prayer. And I've even gone sometimes and said, Lord, thanks, I didn't even pray, and you gave me a good one right here. Thank you, Lord, all right? Hey, I'm glad that we can pray. You said, preach, that's insignificant. It's unimportant. The Bible doesn't say you can pray just for important stuff. The Bible says you cast all your cares upon him. All your cares upon him. And he'll answer you. I don't believe there's anything insignificant. Insignificant. As a parent, I hope if your child came to you, you never said, would you shut up and leave me alone? That's not important. Now, what they were talking about might have been unimportant, but I hope you didn't answer them that way. I hope you didn't answer them that way. Hey, our God hears our prayer. He's able to hear it, and he's able to give us what we need. He's able to do that. Let me say this, not only that, but he's able to keep all of his promises. All of his promises, he's able to keep them. Boy, what a list of them there are. Here, sit down and make a list of the promises that you find in the Bible. Promises that are to us. Okay? There's the promise of answered prayer. You come boldly, he said, I'll hear your prayer. There's that prayer. There's that promise. That promise, he said, here Paul mentioned, he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. He's able to do that, and he will do that. He will do that. He's promised us that our sin is buried and it's separated as far as the east is from the west. That's a promise of God. He's able to do that. He does that. His forgiveness is that way. We can forgive people, but our problem is we don't forget. We don't forget. God forgives and he forgets. Not be remembered anymore. Well, what a promise. What a promise. We get that promise. He said, if I go away, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I'll come again. I'll receive you unto myself. We've got the promise, the Bible says, to be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord. Boy, I believe that. I believe he's able to keep every promise he's ever made. And he says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He'll do that. He'll keep that promise. He'll keep that promise. I ask you tonight, really, just what do you believe? Just what do you believe? I mean, really believe. Not just claim you believe it, but really believe it. Is your God able? Do you act like he is? And the question becomes, how well do you know him? How well do you know him? It's us, folks. It's us. It's not anything wrong with him. He doesn't hold us off. He doesn't push us away. We do that. We push him away. We walk away from him, not because he does, but we walk away. How well do you know him? How's your relationship with him tonight? How is it? If you were to come to him in prayer, would prayer have to start this way? Lord, do you remember me? Because it's been so long since you've talked to him. Hey, how's that relationship? Man, it's in our hands. Paul didn't mind standing up and telling you what he believed. Do you have that kind of courage? Do you have that kind of faith? Say, Lord, I know what I believe and don't mind telling. I'm not ashamed of it. Not ashamed of it at all. I hope you're not. Hope you're not. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight.